Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. I'm your host, Eric. With me is Ray.
Hello.
And by popular demand, our special guest this week is Ben.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. So before we get into all the tournament action, we've got a lot to go over. A total of, we think, about eight GTs, which I think translates to 23 metric GTs. I'm not really sure. We also had a truckload of new releases from Games Workshop being teased. Plus, we've got an event tomorrow, which is weird. Why do we have an event on Tuesday? So for those of you who have been keeping track of the timer, and if you haven't, that's okay. It's been kind of counting down for you. The 80 days that Doomclaimer there said he would have Vigilus for Abaddon, well, the deadline's tomorrow. And so apparently what's going to happen is this, for Greenwich Mean Time, Games Workshop is going to have a little announcement of what's related to this new release. In the meantime, over the weekend, they got to show off a ton of new models, so we now have seen the complete contents of the new Shadow Spear box set. So that was pretty exciting, some really cool models. And interesting, though, some nefarious people from the interwebs have leaked the data slates for said new models. So lots of discussion there. So, Ben, you said you had a chance to look at the Imperial side of things. And
yeah, let's take a look at the Imperium. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, I think they may have gotten the upper hand on this one.
I think the Imperium stuff is mostly looking more competitive, at least in the current meta, due to one particular piece that comes with the Captain of Phobos armor and in the new Infiltrator squads. And that is the Omni Scramblers equipment that they get, and that will completely change Warhammer 40,000 as far as we know it for Space Marines players. So what that does is enemy units that are set up on the battlefield as reinforcements cannot be set up within 12 inches of this unit. To go with that, if we're going to talk about that squad or that unit or anything that goes with it, these guys also deploy just like scouts. So you literally rob anything of being able to deep strike charge, or you completely rob GSC of everything they do. It's actually just insane.
Pretty impressive stuff. Loadout-wise, I'm noticing the unit sizes are much smaller. They're all three people size, and we're supposed to the usual five-man units.
The infiltrators are five-mans.
Are they? Okay, I missed that. Okay. Yeah. The one that caught my eye was, mainly because I play an assault-based army, suppressor squad scared the bejesus out of me.
my comment on suppressor squads is the fact that they have to kill a model to prevent Overwatch, and that they're only really shooting heavy too. They're going to be efficient at what they do, but there's still a group of guys you can shoot that are going to be on the field. They can deep strike in and do it, but then they're also taking a heavy penalty. So I wasn't amazingly impressed with what they have going on, but I want to see what their points cost is going to be, and if, you know, taking one or two of them just to, you know, pop something to make Overwatch, you know, not a thing. And their auto cannons are just upgraded auto cannons. Their strength 7, negative AP 2 instead of 1, 2 damage.
Let's take a quick look. I think they have a power level at least on these. Yep, they're power level 5 for the base loadout. So
it's looking like 30 points a piece, probably, because it'll be close to 100 points of that.
So give you kind of a roundabout idea where they're supposed to be. Interesting enough, Ray pointed this out to me during the weekend, but the Librarian has a new psychic tree, which we've not seen yet before. So I'd be curious to see what those new powers are, but he's pulling from
Obscuration.
Yeah, so I was like, what is that? The Obscuration Discipline. So, be curious what that does. The Master of Possessions, which is the Chaos Sorcerer with all the horns, he also has a new set of spells to his disposal. I believe it's the Malefic Psychic Powers? Yeah. Now, interesting, when he... I was reading some of those little short stories, and I was all excited. Okay, this is what this guy does. And a couple of times he was like taking bodies and feeding them to demon engines to make them work better. So I was like, oh, he's going to be like a kind of like a healing, kind of like a cross between a warp master, a warp smith, and a sorcerer. He's nothing of the kind, actually. He is has this nifty little ability that any seconds within 12 inches, you roll any doubles, not just double ones or double sixes. Take a Perils of the Warp.
Now, the question that I have, and I don't have the data sheet in front of me, so I'm going to ask it now, is I don't have the data sheet for the snipers.
I do.
All right. those guys are also highly interesting to me as far as the Imperium comes down the road. And then they did confirm, as of the most recent leak, that these guys will be addable into other current like detachments, just like Blood Angel, Space Wolves, Raven Guard.
Oh, they did.
All that
okay.
fun stuff.
I had heard something the complete opposite. I was like, "Ooh, that might be a bummer." Like,
it was worded in a way where it says you can add on to your current armies. So we'll see what that actually means. but it was mentioned in the Warhammer community today. So
yeah, with these being basic, you know, the replacement Space Marines, they're all gonna get it. Now on the Chaos Space Marine half, we're probably going to see something completely different.
So these
probably see them and say no there.
So is this the Eliminator Squad? Is that the sniper unit you're asking about?
Yes, they're the snipers. They have three different loadouts for their weapons. We've got the one that's heavy, one strength 4, AP minus 2, and D3 damage. That when you make a rune wall on a 6+, it inflicts one mortal wound in addition to the normal damage. It's got another stat line. It's heavy 1, strength 4, AP minus 1, 1 damage. This weapon can target units that are not visible to the firer. Add 2 to hit rolls made for this weapon. Units do not receive the benefit of cover to their saving throws against attacks made with this weapon. And then there's another firing stat, which is heavy D3, strength 4, 0 AP, and 1 damage.
This is the one everybody kept telling me that could shoot through walls. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, they've got camo cloaks.
So we have new snipers that don't need line of sight. Awesome.
And a unit of 3 costs power level 3. Give me an idea.
Yeah. So I'd be surprised if these guys cost more than about 20 points apiece.
I'm just looking at it. No upgrades, so you're stuck with units of 3. So I think the restriction on how many times you can take them is probably going to be more of a deterrent than points value, but interesting.
Well, bear in mind these are all coming out of a mini codex, so by the time that the full boxes come out, it could be a very different story on unit sizes and any possible upgrades.
Okay.
And to expand on that, they did confirm that they're all single pose, which means you're likely going to see kits come later with multi-pose and multiple other pieces. So bad news on the single pose model, good news on the expect more stuff, and possibly different war gears, just like you saw in Inceptor Squads and stuff like that.
Ray, where do you want to go with the Chaos units? Talk about them. Where do you want to start?
We can start with the elephant in the room, which is Obliterators.
about the size of them.
For the most part, they haven't really changed. Their gun is essentially the same. Because I haven't looked at the Chaos Space Marine Codex in at least a year. They do have Crushing Fists, which I believe is different than what they've been doing for close combat as of right now.
Correct. That's a huge improvement right there. So that's a strength plus 1, AP minus 1, D3 damage. And they did also get they're back to their old 3.5 stat line. So they're strength 5, toughness 5, with 4 wounds and 3 attacks. So that with that crushing fist, they're at strength 6.
Yeah. I've got to admit, I was hoping their fist would be a little bit stronger, because I can't begin to tell you how much those look like power fists. But if they're not hitting minus one to, you know, to hit, drinks is six isn't bad.
Yep, that's pretty good. They still retain, they're still infantry, they still retain their demon keyword. Interesting enough, they also retain their cult of destruction keyword, which I thought was interesting.
Well, that's everything. That is Obliterator's cult of destruction.
Yeah, but they haven't done anything with it yet. So I was wondering, oh, maybe we'll see something. So other the newest model to come out from the release, what we hadn't seen before, is the Possessed model. And at first we thought they were just resculpts, but now that we see the data slate, we find out it is actually a brand new spanking unit, which is pretty exciting. And it's called a Greater Possessed. So it's a little bit quicker on the feet. 7 inches, hitting on twos, strength 5, toughness 5, 5 wounds, 5 attacks. They can be taken in units of 1 or 2, and once they're deployed, they can split up and do their own thing. And in close
combat, in a way, they're the Chaos Space Marine rendition of lieutenants.
Pretty close. They still have Death of the False Emperor. They still have the Demon 5-up invul save. They can take marks. And just like Heralds from the Demon Codex, if they're near a demon unit of the same mark, they add 1 to their strength, which I thought was interesting.
It actually says the Mark of Chaos Legion demon units, so it'll have to be it won't be stuff from the there won't be demons, it'll be other Chaos Space Marine units that have the demon keyword.
Like Obliterators.
Like Obliterators. Yep.
Yeah. Or Warp Talons.
Ooh, I didn't even think of that. Good call, right? Interesting enough, these guys are characters, which I think that right off the bat puts them over the top. Before I was like, yeah, okay, they're improved possessed. Okay, they're a little bit better. But now that they're characters and they can hide behind all this nonsense and making your possessed and other possess and obliterators and apparently warp talents plus 1 strength.
Locust Spar hits itself, right?
What's that?
So adds 1. Right. It looks like he bumps his own strength up too.
That's right.
He's strength 6, -2 d3 damage with 5 attacks hitting on twos. He's no chump.
That's not a chump. The other big flashy new model, of course, is the Venom Crawler. Best I can describe this stat-wise, this is a Chaos Talos. So a little bit of this got cut off. It's a little quicker than a Talos. It actually, top tier is 10-inch move, followed by 8, and then finally 6 inches, so it does degrade. It is 10 wounds, so it's a little bit more durable. Toughness 7, Weapon Skill 4, Ballistic Skill 4, and it starts off at Strength 6, and it goes down by 1 each level. Not sure how many attacks it has. That part of the data slate did get cut off.
I have that.
Oh, do you?
Oh, no, on the right side. Never mind. I don't see it on the right. Cut off on the right.
No problem.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I don't have that.
What makes this interesting, though, is the weapons it's got. So it has this Eviscerator Cannon, 36-inch range, Assault D3. So I'm like, yep. Sounds like a Haywire Blaster. But it's actually Strength plus 2, AP minus 2, D3 damage. So it actually has a Strength 8 gun. And it has 2 of these, so it's 2d3 shots. Suddenly you've got my attention, because at strength 8, you're wounding Knigets on 4s. As expected, if you try to do any demon summoning, it adds 1 to your roll if you're within 6 inches. So that's always kind of neat. And it does have a nastier explosion, just like most of the demon engines. And at the beginning of... Sorry, this is a little blurry. It regains a wound at the start of each turn, and if it kills something in the fight phase, it gains another wound, so it can potentially heal 2 wounds per turn.
I like this.
I want to see what it looks like on the table, just model-wise. I have a feeling it's a lot smaller than I'm expecting.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be much bigger than a Hellbrute.
Which makes it a little more hideable. I don't know. I have to feel this one out. The new Chaos Space Marine models are gorgeous. We've seen those stat lines. Didn't see anything that leapt out to me like, oh my gosh, things have turned. But between the Beta Bolter rules and some of these other tools, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think if we're going to see anything that'll wow people, it might be in a new codex, which I would expect that we'll see before the end of the year. Just to put everything in one book.
Right. Well, we'll see where that comes out. Ben, any other thoughts on these new models?
I was just perusing over some of the chaos stuff here, and I'm probably most excited for what you can pull off with the Greater Possessed and some other fun little combos you can get out of that. We kind of touched on that, but the Venom Crawler, you can burn it to a Talos. I think it's going to be, I'm not quite sure it's going to be like as scary as a Talos, but I was looking at the power level of it, and I'm scared that it might be a bit overcosted. Is my only concern with the crawler at power level 7. But there are some things that are sub 100 points or right around that point that are about power level 7. So if it's around there, it might be pretty good. But if it's like a 140 point model, I'm a little scared at that stat line. So,
well, we still don't know how many attacks that thing has either. I mean, if that thing's rolling around with like six or eight attacks to begin with,
I want to see 8 because of weapon skill 4. You're only hitting half of those.
I honestly want to see an 8 because it looks like a spider.
Yeah, I think 8 probably makes the most sense. And then, you know, 8 strength, 8 attacks. Yeah, no, that would be awesome. It would definitely be a melee monster. If there was a way to make it charge in advance, it'd be pretty cool too. But moving 10 might be a little shallow as far as like trying to actually get it into things.
Yeah.
It's got some neat stuff on there. So,
but my only thoughts on that box is going to be very popular.
I don't have it in front of me. Well, right off the bat, it knows it has a Demon Engine keyword. So one of some of the stratagems, like the reroll the hits, reroll the wounds that we've seen for Soul Grinders and Defilers, will that work on this model as well? Could be, have to look all that up. So a lot more to come. Again, these were leaked items, not official released by Games Workshop. So as we get more information, look for our Facebook page for more updates. So guess where Ben, Ray, and I were at this weekend with Don and Josh, just about everybody who's ever been on the podcast. We were at a tournament. Want to hear how it went? I'll tell you about it right after the break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. I did some recording while at the Scorched Earth Open. That's the big GT that we run here in Phoenix. And Ben was kind enough to join us, coming with his crew from Vegas. So thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So it was a very suspenseful endings. Sometimes people go, do we really need 6 rounds to determine a winner? We needed 6 rounds and every die roll to make sure we got a final winner and every point was counted. So here's a quick recap, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey gang, Eric here. We are midway through round 1 at Scorched Earth Open. So great turnout. We're very excited with the level of players as well as the diversity in lists. So some of the key highlights so far this first round. Some of the new Gene Stealer now fortified with a brand new codex has surprised some of the opponents. We had one little gotcha moment with a sniper taking Aramon on turn 1 thanks to a cult ambush. And also some interesting play with a couple changes from lists, even from LVO. The legendary Don Husen has actually removed his flyers and some of his other units and added a Forge World Knight to his repertoire. Still a lot of the old favorites, but a lot of players also testing out some new lists. So curious to see how it all shakes out. More updates throughout the day, but we're off and running here, round one at Scorched Earth Open. So in a hilarious round two pairing, we've got two of our co-hosts and a third co-host watching me, heckling them as we speak. Don's playing Josh. Ben has already tabled his opponent. So we're just kind of death. What do we got here? Death Guard versus Orc Horde. See how this pans out.
Should be 37.
All right, more coverage here from Scorched Earth Open. So we are at the top of turn three at this point. So this is kind of the round where the claws come out. So because no one wants to go into day two on the losing side of a three game record. So there's quite a bit of people sitting on one-on-one. But right now, if you look at our overall standings, had some interesting results from turn one. Daniel Alabas, currently in first place, playing against Ben Jurek, who has been one of our guest hosts. So two guest hosts already, going for the top spot going into day two. Newcomer Tyler Lee is currently in third. He's playing Katagen Jungle Fighters. Kyle Furstead, also a new player with Death Skulls, also 2-0. Doing his best against Tyler. Vince Arroyo, who's the defending champ, just knocked off Mark Wright in turn two, in round two, is going up against Alfred Drake, one of the guys from Warm Gladiators in Las Vegas. Warm Gladiators also being well represented. Kevin Clow with his Ultramarines is going up against Herb Schaefer, is still playing the Corsairs list, so you may have heard of that on LVO. He was the other Corsairs player at LVO. Nick Hancock making the most out of the new arrival of the Gene Stealer Cult Codex. He has surprised several players with a lot of shenanigans and working his way also into the top eight, going against Justin Aguilar with Evil Sons. So a lot of key players is still involved in the running. We still got four more games left before the weekend is out. More updates as they come along. Thanks. So we're at the start of day two for Scorched Earth Open, and actually a really good turnout, only two drops, so less than 5%, which is actually a record for us, so we're pretty excited about that. Two underway, always the crazy lull for those you guys in kind of behind the scenes of a tournament organizer. Day two is always the hardest part because a lot of players do not communicate that they're not coming back for day two, so you're basically waiting to the last second to say who's actually in the hall, and then you have to pair and make all your drops and rearrange the pairing. So it takes a little bit longer, even with the help of the VCP app. But we are up and running. Some interesting matchups. We've got Mark Wright with his Blood Angels against Nick Hancock and his Gene Stealer Cult, who's making quite a run at things. Don's playing a mirror match in a interesting Nurgle on Nurgle, featuring Taylor Bruce from our Flagstaff area. Co-star Ray is going up with Andrew Armstrong. So you've got Ray's Thousand Sons against a traditional Craft World group with two Hemlock Fighters. And vying for, we have pretty much a four-way run now for the top spot. We've got Ben Jurek, who's been a guest on the show quite a few times with his Orcs, trying to continue his run, going against Tyler Lee, as well as Vince Arroyo going against Kevin Clow. So we've got Chaos versus Space Marines. More updates as I'm walking over here. Looks like Ben has all his flyers deployed deep behind in the corner, countering all the basilisks from Tyler in the opposite corner. But he's got his Gorgonauts coming dead center, and looks like he's going to try and pinch the Imperial Knight that Tyler has at dead center and kind of hold board center. He also has his tractor cannons laid out on. Yep, he was able just to take out a row of vehicles in front of the knight, so this could be an interesting turn on how things go turn one. Other interesting games, kind of walking by just two tables by. Got Daniel Alabas with Herb Schaefer. So Herb Schaefer is number two Corsairs player from last year. He played the same list as he did at Las Vegas Open. Interesting enough, both players are playing Eldar, so Dan purposely made sure he got first turn, that way forcing Herb to use his Phantasm before, so he would do Phantasm first, and that way Dan could then redeploy after Herb used his shenanigans to redeploy there. So lots of neat things going on so far on round four of day two. More updates later in the show. All right, we're back from lunch on day two, so we are now in round five here at the Scorched Earth Open. Some of the fun and shenanigans coming through here. So looking over the results from round four, sets up Ben Jurek, who has been our top orc player with his wonky freebooters list, going up against Vince Arroyo with his Chaos Space Marines. Our own Don Huzen will be taking on Kevin Klo, who displayed Vince in the previous round. Mark Wright is working his way back into contention at this point. He was able to dispatch Nick Hancock's Gene Stealer Cult, working his way up the rankings as well. So, with two games left, it's still anybody's game at this point, as although Vince is on the top, as with Ben as the only two undefeateds, with two games to go, one of the one-loss guys can possibly leapfrog one of them. More to come as we get through the show. Interesting enough, as we've been reporting some of the downtime, Games Workshop has released some new pictures from Shadow Spear, which includes the incomplete pictures of what's in the box. So as we mentioned at LVO, they said there are more models to come. So what we're looking at from a Chaos Space Marine standpoint, you've got Chaos Space Marines, shooty and punchy version. You have a heavy bolter armed regular trooper. You have two what are called Greater Possessed. So these are actually a new data slate, and they are character models. They are deployed in pairs, but once they're deployed, they can separate and do their own thing. You have the foreseen sorcerer with the big skull head, and looks very impressive. So kind of a neat rundown there. From the Imperial side, you've got the Sniper Primaris guys we talked about. They believe they're called Eliminators. Interesting that they come in three-man units. So kind of a smaller footprint, but for almost similar wounds, 6 versus 5 compared to regular Space Marine Scouts. You also have the new, lack of a better term, Primaris Devastators, but I realized that they have, I looked at them funny, they have like the jump pack sprue, and apparently they have grab shoot insertion, so you can drop those in and they fly around. As well as this whole new Phobos armor is a very common keyword that's coming up, so these Vanguard Space Marines are definitely a different breed of Primaris Marines that are coming out. In addition to the Vigilus expansion, both those aforementioned forces are getting a 24-page codex, so about the size of a Harlequin codex, kind of short and sweet, get started from there. So very exciting coming out. Oh, I forgot to mention the Venom Crawler as well for Chaos, so all that's in the box, very exciting stuff. More details, there are some leaked data slates out on the internet. Had a chance to look at them, and one thing I can say that I was completely wrong and Ray was right. The Obliterators, which are considerably larger than the previous models, do have a new data slate, and they went back to their old 3.5 codex stat line of Strength 5, Toughness 5, and they didn't get the Power Fist back, but they did get a heftier close combat weapons, kind of a mini fist type thing. No word on the Obliterators, so there doesn't seem to be any indication that is a multi-part kit that can make a mutilators, nor are the mutilators even mentioned anywhere in the rules. As for the new Possessed, as I mentioned, they are a separate character. They are a separate unit from your existing. They buff the other Possessed, and they also have the same Demon Herald bonuses of adding +1 strength. Strength 5, Toughness 5, 5 attacks, and I believe 5 wounds as well. So they're quite nasty, and they do multi-damage with their close combat weapons. And the Venom Crawler does allow a +1 to summoning, and overall it's about on par with the Talos. You can almost argue it's slightly better than a Talos in terms of efficiency with some of its weapon, because it can get up to strength 8 without a lot of additional assistance on both shooting attacks and close combat attacks. So really neat stats coming out from there. Probably the hidden gem, because I didn't picture this from the fiction that was written about the new sorcerer. I can't remember his name, but the guy with the skulls and the burning torches and all that. Has an interesting ability. Enemy psyker within 12 inches perils on any doubles rather than double ones and double 12s double sixes rather. So that becomes really nasty, especially when you pair that with a Demon Codex with a Stratagem. Oh, did you pair? I'll take another D3 Mortal Wounds. So you can start popping enemy psychers pretty quick. Other thing that Ray pointed out to me, and I did not see it as well, is if you read his stat line on his data sheet, he actually has, he can choose two, cast two, deny one, but he chooses from a different line of spells. So he has a different psychic powers. So it looks like we're getting six additional psychic powers for this particular person. We've got to confirm that as it comes out. Again, most of this is from leaked sources, not from Games Workshop. So we'll have to figure that part out later. Anyway, more highlights on the tournament as we get through the day. So I was able to do some number crunching here mid-turn five, or round five, I should say, here at Scorched Earth Open. Take a look at where our leaders lie at this point. So we're looking at your top table. It's Ben Jurek versus Vincent Arroyo. Ben has a pretty sizable lead over Vince right now at 4,145 points to Vincent's 4,127 points. Now, should one of them fall at this point, Mark Wright actually right behind them at 3,135. He's currently playing Danny Oliva, so has 31 additional points. What does that mean? So should Vince lose his round, he's already at a 8-point deficit to both the third and fourth place players. So he could easily drop from tying for first, or actually in second place, or drop as far as fifth or sixth. It also gives a chance that should either of those players win, Mark or Daniel, they would have at least 1,000 points for the win, put them almost within 3 or 4 points of where Ben is, barring any major crazy point swings in this current round. But if you go down even a little bit further, Aaron Weissman's currently sitting in fifth with 19 points, and Tyler Lee in sixth place with 14 additional points. So they are a little bit behind, both Mark and Daniel. So even with a win this week, they would need some help in the final round of Game 6 to take the top spot. Same in the same boat, our 8th and 9th place players, Don Huzin sitting at 107 points, I should say, and Clinton Smith at 97. Again, a win is essential at this point in this particular round, and a strong win both in round 5 and round 6 to take the championship. So lots to look forward to as we work through there. Not to neglect Nicholas Hancock, he is playing Clinton Smith currently. He's at 3,077 points. A win would put him in similar boat. He would have to win big. However, Clinton has already, as we're discussing, first time playing Gene Sealer Cult, so he's got that little bit of a Xeno's first contact effect going on him. So we'll see if Nick can win big and get himself back into contention with two rounds to go. More updates as we get through the tournament. Talk to you soon. Okay, we are in the final rounds here of 2019 Scorched Earth Open. About 90 minutes left in the round, and it's still anyone's game at this point. Right now, Vince Arroyo has the stranglehold on first place. He's playing Dan Alavas, who was able to fend off Mark Wright last round. If Vince is able to win it, he'll finish a perfect 6-0, and he'll capture the title. However, should he fall, there is a logjam of folks on five wins, one loss. So, quite a potential. So, we've got, of course, Dan Oliver, his opponent, who actually has a significant lead. Looks like about 13-point lead in the standings, should he be able to get the win. Aaron Weissman and Ben Jurek, who Ben Jurek is the one who lost to Vince in the last round, and Aaron's worked his way up, are playing on table two, trying to claim that. They also have a sizable lead on Vince as well. Clinton Smith, with Thousand Suns, also sitting at one loss, has a chance of getting into that as well. Kevin Clow and Don Huzin, as well as Kyle Firstad, have an outside chance of getting in. They have 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. But it'd be pretty difficult if the other guys all fall into place, so they're going to need a little bit of help. So top five, all looking for Vince to fall so they can jump ahead of him. See what happens. More details as the round concludes. Like I said, about 90 minutes to go in the Scorched Earth Open.
So there you have it. Final round. Was Ben able to beat Aaron to get in a shot for the title? Did he get enough points to leapfrog over Dan? Or did Vince just finally win his last game and put all this drama to a close? Well, Of course, I'm using my suspense voice. Of course, that didn't happen. So, quick rundown of what happened here. Ben, do you want to explain it to everyone?
Well, I came home with a pretty plaque that says I'm the War Master, so I think I won. I was able to win my match against Aaron, and I won it with a 35-point score. And then Dan, which I was waiting with bated breath for his game to finish, was able to win his game against Vince, but with only a 30. So I ended up just 6 points ahead of everyone else to finally take it away. So it was a very, very suspenseful game for me. And as far as my match goes, I'll explain a little bit later. Round six was very nerve-wracking for me as far as list matchup goes. So
before we get into that round six, we'll talk about the rest of the top eight as it came to fruition here in the final rounds of the Scorched Earth Open. Eighth place, he had Don Husen with Death Guard. Seventh place was Aaron Weissman. That was Ben's sixth round opponent. Sixth place, Paul Hoke with Space Wolves. Mark Wright with Blood Angels came in fifth. Kevin Clow with Ultramarines came in fourth. Vince Arroyo, who we just mentioned, losing to Dan Olivas in the last round, came in third with Thousand Suns. The aforementioned Inari Master Dan Olivas came in second. And Ben, there you are, alone in first place by a mere 7 points. So tell us about that last round matchup.
So I'm playing a Orc freebooter list, which is beyond crazy and weird as far as meta is concerned. And he's playing a Imperial Knights list, relatively standard with double Gallant and a Castellan with Imperial Guard supporting and some artillery. My list literally like falls over and dies to Gallants touching it. I'm running two Gorgonauts, some planes, some artillery, and some boys. And I can go over the specifics of the list if you want a little bit more. But as far as on paper goes, nothing in mine beats anything of his as far as if they actually get into combat. So, and then the Castellan can clear anything that I bring on the board. So I need to be very, very cagey and very smart about how I played it. I was able to deep strike both my Gorgonauts and play a very timed and specific game where I kind of gave up points round turn one and turn two and was able to chip away some knights and then drop my Gorgonauts and then finally take the game. So that was incredibly nerve-wracking because before I modified my list, that was like my counter. At LVO, I played something very similar and got my butt handed to me. So I used my lessons from that game and applied it to this game.
What were some of the key things you had to do differently?
Some of the key things I did differently is I changed my list from LVO this tournament. I cut a Morkanaut. I was running two Gorgonauts, one Morkanaut. I cut a Morkanaut and added six mech guns, which actually ended up being a huge difference as far as how much damage output I was able to do to the Gallants before they even did anything. And I was able to hide both my big targets instead of trying to hide three big targets. I'm only hiding two big targets. And I started my jets far in the back and only moved them just enough to just move block all of his knights from being able to actually come forward into the juicy pieces of my army. I got a really ideal deployment. I got the Vanguard corners deployment, which is exactly what I'm looking for, because I can start jets in the corner and just kind of fly them up and block everything out. And I can actually almost do that for two turns based on where he deploys, with jets turning sideways and such and such. So I can actually get a good couple of turns of just a Castellan shooting at me, and that's about it. His artillery and his guardsmen didn't really play a part in the game other than dying. So it was really just me playing against those three knights, and I was able to with my artillery and the crazy shock attack gun relic and such, was able to actually take out the Gallants along with my war boss with Claw. And then he finished the game with just his Castellan and a couple characters left, and I just chipped away at him to get bonus for the last couple turns.
Very cool. So, Freebooters, this is not your typical Orc list. So what makes it work and why? And obviously you were trying to you kind of joked with me before, someone said Gorgonauts don't work and you're like, hold my beer. So
how? So The freebooter list, I started building it back in December, and I've been testing a couple different versions of it. And the big mainstay of it is the Morgonaut / Gorgonaut. I've now settled on two Gorgonauts. And the freebooter trait, for those who don't know, is when a freebooter model kills a unit, all freebooter units get +1 to hit for that phase. That's both in the shooting and in the fight phase. The only things that don't apply to are Gretchen, so it doesn't hit Grots and it doesn't hit Met Guns. But Met Guns already hit on fours anyway, so you're not really caring. The Knots have actually a crazy amount of volume of fire because they're going to hit on, they're usually their BS is 5. They go to BS 4 and they have this 18 shot strength 6 neg 1 gun, a 12 shot strength 5 neg no AP gun, two rockets, and a flamer. And in the Vigilist detachment, they can shoot twice. Between the Dacajets and Gorgonaut shooting twice, if you're going against a Horde army, after Daka, all the bonus shots you get on sixes, it averages to about 108 to 114 strength six neg one shots, going into whatever you want to go into. So, it's an oppressive amount of mid range, Daka, on top of the jets, which can go anywhere and start to trigger it. So, the hard part about getting freebooted to go off is you need something to kill something, and you need something with decent ballistic skill to do it. So you never really shoot with your Gorgonauts or Morgonauts first. You end up shooting with your Met Guns first, or my favorite thing is to jump shooter boys, have shooter boys kill a group of 5 scouts or some guardsmen or Cobblites or whatever they can hit. And then they proc it because you can actually string the boys out to where it hits the rest of army in that magic 24 inches. It kind of combos off after that. It doesn't do well against some lists that have nothing for me to kill as far as chaff goes. But that's why I bring Met Guns. If they bring like a transport or harden up, I can actually just pick up something like that and then keep going. I'm running 3 tractor cannons specifically for doing stuff like that because I have a hard time killing Venoms and Wave Serpents and such and Planes. So that was kind of a lesson learned from LVO. But overall, the list kind of has a like 4-foot death ball where everything wants to be within 2 feet of each other, but at max, and keeping up with the planes turning sideways and this and that, just so you can all benefit from that +1 to hit. The Shock Attack gun is my warlord in this list, which was another huge change. I used to be the war boss, but now it's the Shock Attack gun. I typically give him the +1 to wound against vehicles. So him +1 to hit and +1 to wound with the Relic Shock Attack gun can pick up most T7 and some T8 vehicles with just one round of shooting, and he can shoot twice. So that guy was an absolute MVP in a lot of my matches. But that's kind of the gist of how freebooters work. I can kind of give a little synopsis of my list while I'm doing this. I ran a War Boss on bike, a Big Mac on bike, 2 Weird Boys, 30 boys, two groups of 10 Gretchen, 2 Gorgonauts, 2 Dekajets, and then 1 Wise Bomb Blaster Jet. And that's it. That's the entire 2,000 points. And there's a lot of little fun tricks here and there, like the Gorgonauts can 3d6 charge and deep strike, unlike Knights. So I can actually hide my big vehicles from Castellans and Dark Reapers and all that fun stuff if I need to. But other than that, if you got any questions or want me to go over any of my games, just let me know.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Dark Reapers, but how do you deal with that? Because you've got not the fastest of armies that you have in your hands.
So it really depends on the deployment in the Eldar matchup. If I know that I'm going to be facing Dark Reapers, on the long deploy, I can usually hide my jets out of their range. On the short deploy, I will make them kind of pick their poison. And also, in that matchup, I take Cunning but Brutal for a redeploy. So I can counter their go against their Phantasm if they choose to do it, and then be able to move my Knots around or my jets around if I please. Cunning but Brutal is a Warlord trait where it's move your Warlord plus D3 units of the same clan. So I can pick my stuff up, move it around if I need to a little bit there. And that's been super helpful in some matchups. But with the short deploy, a Mech Deep Strike one knot, depending on where what they're going to be afraid of. Dan particularly was afraid of my tractor cannons, so he actually put most of his deck into just my artillery and didn't touch my knots. My jets were out of range because we're in a long deploy, so he only was able to kill a couple cannons before my list went and capitalized over his. He failed a bunch of psychic phases, which was to my benefit, and I was able to do way more damage than I normally would be able to, and kind of picked up literally every Dark Reaper on the field, along with a few other things.
Overall, one of the other big bugaboos at this particular event was the triple Riptide. I think we saw at least three, maybe perhaps four iterations of this. Good for the meta, or is this the only thing Tau have to bring at this point?
Well, my opponent, specifically the Tau opponent I played, was running double Riptide. And he was running double Riptide because he put more points in the broadsides, and he was running running Long Strike in the other tank, which was kind of carryover from what you were seeing earlier in the meta with knights and such, because the main guns and those guys are actually pretty good against knights. But I think you're going to see double or triple Tide for a long time to come. I don't think it's the only thing they can take. Sniper drone spam is a thing, but who wants to buy a million sniper drones?
Don't they just get it on Spruce? Like, whenever you buy a Tau model, you get like a handful of drones for free.
And then you got to kit bash some sniper ones. But so there's Tau doesn't have a whole lot of choice other than building that type of gun line. I don't think you're not going to see a different iteration or like, why would you take that when you just take Riptides? Because the problem with Tau is that like, oh, if I replace this model with this model, what does it do? Oh, it shoots. It sits there in a bubble of auras and shoots. Like, it doesn't do anything different than what another Tau unit would do. Good point.
Any other surprising armies that you saw at the tournament this weekend?
I saw a lot of what I would have expected to see. You know, you saw your Imperium Soup lists. You see your Knights lists. You see your standard Orcs lists. I had to play a standard Orc list round one. But the Vincent, my fifth round opponent, he brought kind of a crazy new beta Bolterule Chaos army. The concept of it isn't crazy, but like his specific list was like, okay, this is different. He's running like Flamers of Tzeentch and Slaanesh Black Legion Terminators and Scarab Occult Terminators and the Thousand Sons Supreme Command surrounded by Plague Bearers. So he kind of like grabbed pieces here and there and stuff that really benefited from like the new beta Bolter rules and such, and went ham. And that was a pretty fun list to play against. It was awkward for both of us because my list doesn't handle his list that well, and his list doesn't handle my list that well. So we were like, you know, weird kids slapping each other trying to figure out how to actually kill each other's army.
Ray, you're there as well. What's stood out for you from Scorched Earth Open this past weekend?
Well, I was surprised to see a full Tzeentch Demon list. I've heard plenty of people talking about demons, but it's all been corn blobs, you know. So outside of that, I wasn't really too surprised to see an Imperium list that had Knight and Astra Militarum. What surprised me, though, was that the Power Armor contingent was Grey Knights instead of the usual Blood Angels Smash Captain or variant thereof.
And on the Imperium side, my teammate Kevin Clow was running an Ultramarines list with some Assassins and some other Space Marine Librarians that aren't Ultramarines. He was running that fancy combo, and he also benefited from the new beta Bolter rules with putting all his Storm Bolters on bikes. So he had bikes and Leviathans, one Leviathan Dreadnought, and some Clexus Assassins, and then the two-punch combo of the Space Wolves Librarian and the Dark Angel Librarian, where you can give something negative one to hit, and then go throw a Clexus at it. You can literally pull an entire unit out of the game just doing that.
Yeah, I personally tried to run pretty heavy with the new Bolter rules, but those can only get you so far, as I found out.
Yeah, I saw a lot more Terminators floating around. So interesting, not a single Tyranids player. One Gene Stealer Cult player did great on day one and had a couple not so good games for him on day two. But overall, good mix of armies, good mix of archetypes. New venue definitely was much easier to work with. Seemed like everybody's enjoyed it, as well as the new location. And,
yeah, it was a welcome change to the first one. Definitely an upgrade if you as a person who's only been to one, or the two, the one aside from this one. So I would say so. You had a nice little wedding next door, and other than that, you know, maybe have been some cross mingling, but other than that, it was a fairly good event. We could definitely room for expansion and growth, and maybe we can hit those major numbers pretty soon, and have a much bigger event.
Yeah, that is the plan moving forward. So plenty of details throughout the year. But surprisingly enough, we are not the only GT this weekend. As we mentioned, we are one of many, one of two right here in the in the southwest part of the United States, and then three more across the pond. So let's start. Let's be tourists, shall we?
Well, we can start with the LWG Open Winter Warfare. The top eight looked like this: Jim O'Callaghan with Astra Militarum in eighth, Simon Pritis with Tau Empire in seventh, George White with Imperial Knights is in sixth, Vincent Chan with Yunari is in fifth, Joe Malem with Drukhari in fourth, Sadvik Vijay is in third with Suriani, Francesco Z with Drukhari is in second, and in first is Malik Amin Rubio.
Yeah, he's making up for lost time. He was the guy in the top 10 who could not make it to LVO. So the other event, as we mentioned, in Merry Old England, and was the Warhammer 40K March Grand Slam GT. Much like Planet of the Apes, tells you exactly what's going on in the title. And your top eight looks something like this: David Irving with Imperial Knights, Ash Loftus with Astra Militarum, sixth place Marcus Hinson with Imperial Knights, fifth place Bethany Taylor with Cult Mechanicus, fourth place Bob Duran with Imperial Knights, third place Tom Higginbottom with Gene Stealer Cult, the legend from London GT Mike Porter coming in second with Astra Militarum. Interesting, he dropped Chaos. And your winner of the event is none other than Manichima with Tau. So there you go. There's a Tau. Yeah. Tau can never win a major event. There you go.
But we got the War Games for Warriors, which was in wonderful Salt Lake City area this weekend also. And they had 33 players in attendance. So they pulled off their GT numbers. And then eighth place here. That's right. In eighth place was Charles Metz with Drukhari. In seventh place was Caleb Kirby with Thousand Suns. In sixth place was John Raleigh with Cadian Shock Troops. In fifth place was Rich Mahoney with Tyranids. In fourth place is Jonah Richardson with Grey Knights. In third place was Christopher Talley with Gene Stealer Cult. In second place was my arch rival, Richard Kilton, with Orcs. And in first place, is Ben Cromwell with Imperial Knights.
It was also the charity event, so congratulations, guys. Hope you raise a lot of money over the weekend for the needy in that area. Over in Conway, Arkansas, we had the Desperate Allies GT. And your top eight, featuring a couple LVO veterans, looks something like this. We had a tie for seventh between Jason Burrow with Death Guard and Colin Coons with Death Watch. Sixth place featured Josh Stewart with Necrons. Fifth place was Clifton Russell with Gene Stealer Cult. Fourth place, Bruce Merker with an Ari. Third place, Nick Anderson with Catechin Jungle Fighters. Aiden Barkley came in second with Orcs. And in first place, we had none other than Justin Lois with Cult Mechanicus, who made a big name for himself at this last just 4 weeks ago at LVO.
All right, so for the Dice Hammer Warhammer 40k GT2, in eighth place, we had Adam Gotti with Alatark. In seventh place, John Starks with Drukhari. Sixth place, we got Daniel Ye with Space Wolves. In fifth place, Raymond Ahumada playing Alatok Craftworld. In fourth place, Jason McKenzie with Cult Mechanicus. In third, Alan Dehesa with Chaos Space Marines. In second, Cooper Waddell with Gene Stealer Cult. And in first place, Jim Vessel with Chaos Demons.
So, around the world coverage of the GT and level higher events. After the break, where did all these people fall in terms of the new ITC top 10 standings? Go over that right after the break. Welcome back after the break. Here is your updated ITC top 10. Surprising enough, all 10 of these people have had enough time since LVO to get three games in. Or three tournaments. I'm very impressed. So your top 10 looks something like this. In 10th place, Nathan Bates with 250 points. XR Exodar, I'm sure that's his birth name, with a mere 1 point lead over him. Jason Chatterton has a 2 point lead over XR, with Danny Kwan taking 7th place with another 2 point lead. Richard Sigler has a 6 point lead, holding on to 6th place, and still a good 14 points behind Anton Wilson for 5th place. Michael Serapato, who had a strong performance this past weekend, has 283 points. 3rd place, Michael Ralston, with 288 points, holds down the 3rd spot, but still a mile behind Robert May with 335 points. But your current ITC leader for this week is none other than Jim Vessel with 367 points. Ray, what events do we have coming up next weekend?
So as of right now, we've just got one listed on Best Coast Pairings, and that is the ANZ 40K Open in Australia.
Very cool. We'll have a full rundown of their top eight next week. Ben was just asking, would there maybe some new secondaries coming out for the ITC? Not sure if we're allowed to talk about those yet until they become official, but hopefully they'll be done by the end of the week. So lots of goodies coming up for the 2019 season. Ben, pleasure to have you on the show, and congratulations on your big win.
As always, thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you there. Ray, always good to have you on the show.
Always great being here.
And I have to be here because I'm the guy with the computer. So anyway, you guys don't need to be here, but we appreciate you coming every week to listen to us. Like what you hear, leave us a comment or a review on iTunes. Here's something we need to fix. Let us know on Facebook. Meantime, my name's Aaron.
I'm Raymond.
Thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.